everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. We have somebody who is quite literally right off the plane, right back from Vegas, and he's getting on more planes here in the near future. But for today, Mr. Dux is at his house. How is it going?
Weather here is much better than Vegas, but good to see you, Brad.
Likewise, my man, likewise. And I know you've been traveling a bit, but that's pretty much par for the course. But I know you were just at Inspire the past couple days. Can you give us the high level? How was it? Anything that blew your mind? What was going on out in the world of Vegas?
Boy, this is my 10th Inspire. Yes, it's just, I know it doesn't look, I still look young, right? It's amazing. What Microsoft has done starting last year, they've combined Inspire, which is their mm-hmm. partner conference, and Ready, their sales kickoff. So there was over 35,000 people. And essentially this event is just to really paint the picture of what this new fiscal year for Microsoft would look like, what they're betting on, and really get the partners excited and ready to help grow with Microsoft. As you may imagine, top of mind in the modern workplace arena is mm-hmm. Teams. So they want to amp up and double down Teams growth and Teams adoption, security as well, that ties into E5, mm-hmm. and among other things in their other line of business, certainly a lot of growth in Azure, a lot of push for AI and cognitive services, and more opportunities for partners to sell and really make money with Microsoft.
Very, very cool. And of course, it takes place out in Las Vegas, which is... well, if you know, it's the desert in July, right? It's not known for being cool, but we are happy you are back, my man. And there was some big news that came out because Microsoft actually lifted the press embargo on Thursday of the couple days prior. But Microsoft made a lot of headlines with Teams hitting 13 million daily, and that is with a D, daily active users, which is kind of nuts for a product that's a little bit over, what is it, about two and a half years old at this point?
Absolutely. I think it goes to show how much people want to use it, and there's still a lot of room for growth. I know they released some number a couple months ago that Office 365 has over 180 million users. Yep. And certainly this number looks at across the stack, right? From Exchange to SharePoint to OneDrive to Teams. But Teams alone having 13 million daily active usage, that's amazing. And with total of 180 million overall number for Office 365, there's so much room for growth.
Yeah, and it's going to be one of their pushing points when they did a very small reorg, nothing major across the board, but what they pulled out was from their sales team was like, hey, we're not going to be pushing Windows 10 anymore, the migration stuff, because if you think about it, for Microsoft's fiscal year, that happens right in the middle. And so if people aren't migrating or doing that at this point, they're kind of like, well, you know, we'll help them, but you're a little bit late. And they put in Teams, and more specifically trying to amp up the voice communications inside of Teams as Skype for Business starts to kind of work its way out of the system. Microsoft is really going to be pushing that heavily, at least for the next fiscal year.
I mean, three things around that, right? When I can't underscore what you said, you know, what does that pushing it heavily mean? Like three key things on my takeaway. Number one, you talk about reorg. They're actually reorg their sales team on the field where they have a Teams technical specialist. That's unheard of. And there's, you know, in the past, as you may recall, there are technical specialists for like SharePoint, yep. Exchange, and then they stopped that. They said, okay, everybody just Office 365 or Modern Workplace. But now they've kind of instantiated within sales team a Teams technical specialist. So that's one clear sign they're pushing for Teams. Mm-hmm. Number two is they announced that they have a new co-sell program around Modern Workplace, which is really Teams, and business apps. This is unheard of because in the last few years, they had co-sell program for Azure. The idea is if your solution helps drive Azure consumption, mm-hmm. Microsoft sellers will sell it and they get credit. Okay. So they took that same model and said, hey, look, for Modern Workplace, Teams specifically, if you're an ISV or an SI with a solution that will help drive usage and adoption of Teams, Microsoft sellers will sell it and they will get credit. So that's huge. Mm-hmm. And then the third bit is they're now taking the next step around Teams maturity. They're encouraging partners to build apps in Teams, to build extension in Teams. So it's very clear Teams is front and center.
Yeah, it's interesting, and this is probably going to be somewhere along the title of the show or something in the headline. It's always interesting to hear sort of that inside track of what is going on with Microsoft sales efforts, because that in itself, one, well, if you're on the receiving end, you know what's coming down the pipeline next time I meet with your sales representative. But it's interesting for me as an outsider to watch how Microsoft, because you could make the arguments like, oh, Teams is already known and all that, but they're finding unique and individual ways to start pushing this out. And while 13 million is a lot, to your point, when they say they have 180-ish million customers on that, that means they've got a lot of growth potential ahead of them to really, really ingrain that product. And there were a lot of headlines out saying, oh, Slack has 10 million and all that, and Teams is better. I don't know if that's a great comparison because of how Teams is sold, and that was a number from January, and both products can exist and both companies will be fine. But there's no other way to slice it that Teams is very much here to stay, and Microsoft is making a huge effort. And if you're listening to this and you haven't adopted Teams and you're hesitant to do it, I strongly encourage you to take a look at it, because you're going to have to adopt it one way or another at some point in the future, I think.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So very, very cool Teams news. Now, Dux, I know you were there in person for this one. Unfortunately, again, I'm not allowed to go to this one unless I put on some wigs and grab somebody else's badge. But Julia White showed off a really, really neat demo at Ignite, Inspire. And effectively, what it was is she was turned into a hologram and then made life-size while wearing a HoloLens 2. And then using the magic of AI and all that stuff, she could speak any language in her own natural tone, which to me, that is like... That is like the peak of how Microsoft is just blending all their technologies together.
Absolutely, and you're right. The whole hologram, HoloLens, that's nothing new. We've seen that a bunch of times. But the ability to connect the dots, right? I think that's what Microsoft has going for them. They have all these different technology. You know, the way I think about it, it's like Lego pieces. They're able to connect the dots and be able to do that. I have a colleague of mine that was there who was Japanese. So as Julia White was speaking Japanese, she was like, wow, that's 90% there, meaning the accuracy, the tone. Yeah. And if it's 90%, clearly people understand that. I was telling her, looks like I don't have to travel as much anymore.
Well, I'm waiting for them to make a hologram that can go to my meetings for me. That will be the peak. That way I can not have to do that. But it reminded me when you were talking about how they're blending all this stuff together is Microsoft actually first showed off their translation services in real time at Inspire. It might have been at the one in Washington, D.C., but it was Skype, if you remember.
Correct, they did a Skype call. I remember somebody was speaking, and then it translated German real time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think a lot of people know about this. It's built into Skype today.
Yeah.
So you can actually use it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. This is one of those technologies you look at, and it's really easy to see how it can be used by not only enterprise customers, but just like if you go to Paris and you're out to dinner and you need some help translating the menu or talking to people, like this is going to change the game for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very fascinating piece of technology.
Absolutely. And that demo is just mind blowing, just being there, seeing it. And I'm sure, you know, they practice and they had to, I think, scan Julia in their HoloLens studio in Redmond to be able to get that, you know, 360 and life-size view. But it was amazing.
Yeah, it really, really was. And I'll be curious to see how long it takes them to go from that demo to a working product that people can use. Because obviously this was step one, get it out, get it shown off. And then figuring out how to actually turn that around, and so that maybe Dux and I could do this conversation in Mandarin one day.
That's right.
That will be when we know it has arrived.
我们可以讲中文啊，没有问题。
We see you're cheating now.
Are you sure I'm not using some technology?
You very well could. You are way, way ahead of me on that one. But one of the features, Dux, and I don't know if you had a chance to read this because it was a scoop by me. It's something that's coming later this year. And I think this is neat as well. So, Dux, I think we can make a pretty solid argument that in the enterprise world, having your data monitored is just sort of that is the baseline, right? Because you have issues like compliance and all that stuff and it has to be tracked. And sometimes you have to retain data for 7 years, depending on the compliance measurement and all that stuff. So this doesn't necessarily work all that well in the consumer world. But Microsoft is working on a feature right now. And it's under the Cortana umbrella, and it might not be in that, but it's going to be for enterprise customers where they are monitoring your email. They're monitoring your Teams conversations. It's all cataloged, right? All that data is already collected, and they're sprinkling their AI goodness on it. And Dux, if we had a conversation on Teams and you said, hey, Brad, I'm going to send you a meeting invite by tomorrow night, and I would say, hey, Docs, I'm going to ship you a PowerPoint before our meeting. What they're working on now are reminders that can look at your activity and say, oh, Docs never sent that email, or no, Docs never sent that reminder or that meeting invite, and remind you to do it. And then when that meeting invite hits my side, it will know, and so that reminder will be cleared and not show up for you. But then on my side, it'll be like, hey, don't forget you told Docs that you're going to ship him that PowerPoint. And all it's going to help you do is all the contextual information, it's going to bubble it up for you in active real-world scenarios. And the people who have used it so far have been incredibly impressed about how nuanced it can get about the promises you make and helping you keep them.
They've already started that. I don't know if you noticed in Windows, for example, little things like that. Like when I send an email, hey, Brad, let me send you the paper in 2 weeks. You would see in Windows, little Cortana pops up. Don't forget, you told Brad this. So I think they're in the initial stages of that. And second, through Microsoft Graph, they've already introduced a similar concept in Office 365 using Delve, where they'll say, hey, since you're working on this, you may want to talk to this other person. So again, bringing all these together and making more streamlined and contextual. Personally, I think it's great. Personally, I would love this feature and capability, but I can see though there are situations and organizations that may not want this. So for example, I know European laws are very strict, and the thought of something or they'll think Microsoft has access to all this, and now getting context and meaning out of it can be some, there may be issues around privacy, so.
Absolutely, and that's why I think right now the feature you're talking about, they have a feature called Cortana's Heads Up Emails, which is a consumer thing, and I don't know how widely it's rolled out or whatever, but that was sort of the baseline pilot for it. And then they said, hey, where else can we get data? And it's like, oh, the enterprise, we have all the data already. Now on the consumer side, obviously that's much more difficult because there are a lot of privacy laws, and there are on the corporate side too, but look for something like this to come. I believe at Ignite, they're gonna start talking about it, and it might ship in beta later this year. And for anybody who is truly concerned, I very much believe you'll be able to turn it off and on. Microsoft is very good about giving that type of control. So. It'll be a neat little thing. It's just kind of that blending of stuff. Like they have all the bits and then they bring it together. It's neat. I like that stuff.
Yep. And that's something other providers don't have, right? Well, certainly I use Slack. I like Slack, for example. Mm-hmm. But then what Microsoft can bring to bear for Teams, you know, between the basic collaboration capabilities, AI, information protection, those took them a lot of investments, a lot of time to build up, and now connecting all these pieces. And I even haven't talked about Power Platform. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be, you know, interesting to see what happens next 12 months.
Yeah. And that's one of those features to your point. Like it's real easy these days. Almost anybody, but it's easy to build a word processor, right? It's easy to build a presentation tool. It's very hard to get additional value out of that contextual type information unless you own the entire stack and the data streams and that Office Graph, which I believe when Satya took over as CEO said was Microsoft's most valuable asset was the actual Office API.
That's right.
So interesting times. Now, Docs, I don't want to put you up on a pedestal too high, but you guys had some really good news coming out of Inspire. Notably, the first one is that you guys won a little pitch off. Is that correct?
That's right. Tell us more. So about a month ago, there was a call for partners who's going to Inspire, essentially to showcase any solution you had that provides humanitarian impact, societal impact, that maximizes Microsoft Cloud and AI. We have a solution like that called AppPoint Citizen Services, where local government agencies can use it that plugs into their Azure and Dynamics 365 investment and use as a case management platform for their city, county, town. In fact, the city of Richmond, Virginia is using it. And plus, based on the data we capture, talking about contextual, we've already leveraged Microsoft AI so it can predict, hey, 3 months from now, the light bulbs on that corner of the street will go bad, go and fix it. So become more proactive. Mm-hmm. So I submitted this, and I'm sure there's a lot of other partners submitted their entries, and it came down to four finalists. I got the notification last week, and they said, you know, be ready to pitch for 5 minutes in front of US executives, and it's very Shark Tank style. And it was fun and very grateful to be chosen as the winner for this year.
That is the most muted humble brag I think we will ever have, because I mean that's a big deal, right? There's a lot of people that pitch and go to this stuff. There's a lot of people who wanted to get to, and you're just like, oh yeah, we want it. We just I just walked up there and did it.
But for me, the cool part, it's the first time they did it. I'm sure they're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And the cool part is the prize. The prize is essentially in the U.S. We'll work with the U.S. partner, one commercial partner team, and they'll help us put together a go-to-market as if it was their own product and help push it out and promote it out. So to me, that's the most exciting part.
Yeah. I mean, that's a new line of business, right? That's a heck of a thing to go to Vegas and come back with basically a battle plan to launch a new product line. I mean, that's honestly just incredible that's how they're doing it. I'm going to figure out how to get there next year. I'm going to need an AV point.
That's right. Get a side hustle and you'll be like a booth buddy.
Yeah. Can you imagine Frank Shaw walking around and just seeing Brad just going, Hey,
my new job.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank, I do. Ducks and I are good. That's cool. It's cool. Awesome, man. So what else is going on in the world of Ducks? I know you're traveling next week. You were in Vegas this week. What else has happened on your side of the coin?
Oh, man. Another exciting thing, just coming off Vegas, I still have this high, is we've announced a major, major partnership with Ingram Micro to be their exclusive partner for their Modern Workplace Accelerate program. So for those not familiar, Ingram Micro is among the largest distributor for a lot of managed service provider partners for Microsoft. And essentially, they're a marketplace where through that marketplace, they can transact and purchase AvePoint products. And this is a global deployment. And this is exciting. Certainly, it's a great partnership. And then we're looking forward to grow the business together.
Yeah, that's... Well, coming out of Inspire, I mean, that's honestly what you came back with, a brand new partnership with Ingram, and you came back with a totally new line. Like, how that has got to be like the best business trip ever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I'm home for a day and a half, and I'm off to Asia next week. I'll be in Manila and Singapore meeting with customers and also, again, spreading the good news of Teams. So I'll host two workshops, one in Manila around how to drive Teams and Yammer sustainable adoption, and then another one in Singapore next week. So really excited, looking forward to the trip.
I honestly don't know how you do it, because it's 3 hour time difference between here and Vegas, or is it two?
Correct.
And then
three.
Yeah, so you're going to be home just long enough to maybe get accustomed to your local time zone, and then you're going to go just your body clock, man. I'm very envious of it.
Time is relative. Last week I was in Munich. Before Vegas, I was in Munich for a week or for 3-4 days. I was home, Vegas, and then Asia. It's all good.
That is fascinating. That is fascinating. All right, Ducks, as we wrap it up here on the back of the book, you got anything else going on? What are you looking forward to when you go to Asia? What is your favorite thing to do on that side of the planet?
I got to tell you, pretty much anywhere in the world, but a couple of things. I think two things, right? It's food. Yeah. I get to try new food or get food that I can't get here. So that's one. And second is just to, you know, meet up with friends and family. I was born and raised in Manila and have a lot of good friends and family there. So just to catch up and see what's going on.
That is awesome, Ducks. Well, we very much appreciate you taking time out of your crazy schedule. I mean, you're all over the board, but I love it. I love it. And we look forward to seeing your adventures, what's coming next, what's heads up for AvePoint. To everybody else, we'll drop links down below to some of that news and to Ducks' stuff and to AvePoint, of course. And to everyone else, don't forget to hit that subscribe button, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.